All right, we're kicking off hour number two with some breaking news here on 105.3 The Fan, presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Hang on to your tushes, ladies and gentlemen. Josina Anderson tweeting out just moments ago, breaking. I'm told the Cowboys are releasing running back Ezekiel Elliott. I'm also told that Elliott requested his release.
I've already sent three text messages.
We'll came see. Out of left field, bro.
Yeah, yeah. I was doing that during the break and trying to kind of cover this thing up. So we'll see. I find the timing of it unusual, being the last game of the season.
No doubt.
So we'll see if in fact that's the case. Usually Josina's pretty good with this stuff, and she's got a good relationship with the players and agents and stuff like that. So we'll see if we can get anybody on the Cowboys to confirm it for us.
Yeah, that's what I'm awaiting right now. I'm waiting for additional reporters to jump on this. I'm seeing the aggregators jumping on it, but I'm waiting for the official Schefter or Rappaport or Pelissero, something like that. But Josina Anderson breaking the news that Zeke has requested to be released, and it seems like the Cowboys have granted that. Unbelievable. As we head into the final week of the season, why would Zeke want to be released at this point? I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. Does he want to hop on with a team that has a chance on at a playoff run right now? I don't know. I'm at a loss here.
I don't have a real good plan either. A real good idea. It seems like to me. I mean, do you think that he was going to just last game of the year, they were just going to give him all the carries and he just didn't want to be treated that way? Does that make sense? You know, like, hey, wait a minute, you haven't used me the last 8 weeks. You've gone with Dowdle. Now you want to all of a sudden play me in this football game? Maybe it'll cross ways with him? I'm surprised he didn't get released the first time, you know, when that whole thing, when he was inactive, you know, and all the, you know, there was all the,
maybe showing up late to meetings maybe, and whatnot.
Yeah. I think these guys did him a little bit of a favor, you know, when it came to that. You know, that they kept him around, you know, when they could have very well just, you know, cut the cord on that one and said, okay, go find another team. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. The timing of it is not very good.
Clarence Hill is confirming the report on Twitter of 20 seconds ago. So it looks like this is real, and this is surprising. We're finding out in real time that Zeke has requested his release, and the Cowboys have granted it. And we are now going to be working Broadus rapidly on his phone, trying to figure out the why to all of this. Because, as you mentioned, he was having some issues with some off-the-field stuff, and it was being brought into the Star in Frisco, where he's late to meetings and missing team activities of sorts, and so they sat him for a game. And
I'm honestly surprised they didn't do it then. I know I'm repeating myself there, but I just felt like that all the things that were coming down about that, and that, you know, that whole the meetings, the stuff, and, you know, Jane Slater was one of the first that I remember talking about it, and maybe we can get a hold of her and kind of figure this out. Maybe she's got some of understanding of why you know, why now and instead of, you know, at the end of the year, let this thing play out.
Yeah. Let's see if maybe we could get Jane on the horn or something like that. We'll see who we can bring in here to advance the story and give us some of these details here. But a bit of a shocker, as we are just a few days away from the final game of the season. Zeke asked for his release. Cowboys releasing Ezekiel Elliott. That's how we kick off the NFL news of the day today. And let's go from one running back to the next here with Saquon Barkley. What's going to happen here with the Eagles? Are they going to go hard for him to get the 101 yards needed to pass Eric Dickerson for the most rush yards in a single season in NFL history? You have Nick Sirianni on WIP this morning saying that he'll talk to the staff, talk to the players, talk to Howie, talk to Mr. Lurie. He'll talk to everybody to try and make sure he's making the best decision for the football team. And he said the question he asks himself is, what's the best thing for the team? And then also, what's the best things for the individuals going for the record? If you think back a couple of years ago, 2021, They had Devontae Smith going for rookie receiver record. Everybody else was resting, but we wanted for everyone else, whatever it is. We didn't play some other guys in that game, but we went and got him that record. Every situation is a little bit different. So, and Barkley was like, hey, whatever the decision is, I'll go for it.
If Barkley were to break Eric Dickerson's record, it would give him, I think, a leg up on the MVP. I know you and I have had our discussions about quarterbacks and running backs, but I think this might sway the voters in that direction. I think, okay, maybe I should say it this way. It would give voters a reason to vote for him.
A real leg to stand on.
If he doesn't get the record, then you could talk about all the quarterbacks you want. Hey, had a great year, offensive player of the year, all those things you're talking about. But if he breaks Eric Dickerson's record, then you have a legitimate way of saying this guy potentially should be the MVP. That's where you're not only are you getting him the record, but you're also giving him an opportunity to be an MVP in a usually when it's a quarterback that's involved. Does that make sense?
Totally. Yeah, I get you. So we'll see what the Eagles end up deciding to do here. I still think it's just weird that they pulled him for the final 10 minutes or of the game the other day.
They really could have punished Dallas. They could have got a lot closer to this record if they would have just kept him in that football game.
Now, one of the interesting things that I was unaware of, because we know that Barkley gets the additional game. Dickerson did it in 16 games.
Right.
Barkley's going to now do it. If he does it, it'll be 17 games. And so is there an asterisk involved here? Is it quite the same? And that's fair to just say no, but there's an even more reason to say no to that, because Dickerson did it in 379 carries.
Yeah.
And Barkley is at 345 carries right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, unless it's just a terrible game, he goes out there and has to carry the rock 34 times, he will have broken that record in a less amount of carries than what Eric Dickerson broke it in. So I think that's interesting and wasn't something that I was aware of when you're trying to parse through which record, I guess, is more impressive or whatever, or if this one would deserve any type of clarification or asterisk. And I would say with that right there, Barkley, if he does it, he will have done it in a less amount of carries. And so I think that kind of evens things up a little bit. So just something interesting right there. A lot of people texting in about Zeke right now and alleging that he has some New Year's Eve parties that he's got to get going to. And so that's why he doesn't want to maybe go to work. Go ahead and release me. That's the news here over the last few minutes. Zeke asking to be released by the Cowboys, and they have granted it. So we're working to get some more details on the story, but that was definitely out of left field, a bit of a shocker. Now, elsewhere around the league, you have the coaching carousel that is getting underway, and Albert Breer just connected some dots for the Bears. This would be hilarious. I'm hoping for this now. The Bears finding a way to botch this thing. They got to go get Ben Johnson. It's the only thing that they should be doing right now, the play caller for the Lions. But apparently Vikings defensive coordinator Brian Flores is a name to watch for the Bears head coach opening.
Sure.
He was a Boston College teammate of Ryan Poles in 2003. Ryan Poles is the GM for the Bears. And it seems like they're sticking with Poles. The Bears, obviously, they're gonna get a new head coach in here, but it looks like they're also just gonna retain Ryan Poles, the GM, and with that connection to Brian Flores being teammates with him back at Boston College, all of a sudden now he's in the mix here, and it would certainly make sense. Brian Flores has been a head coach before with the Dolphins, didn't really work out for him, but his defenses were always good in Miami. He's always had great defenses wherever he was as the DC. You're seeing it right now with the Vikings, how fantastic they are. But we also remember all the details between Brian Flores and Tua in Miami.
Right.
And Brian Flores led the league in toxic masculinity, sending texts about how bad you suck, Tua, and all that stuff right to Tua's phone. Now you're going to pair him with Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I think that to me, and I just got confirmation from somebody in the organization that they, in fact, have released Ezekiel Elliott. So, you got to wonder sometimes with these coaches and their second opportunities, what mistakes did you make the first time around? What mistakes do you need to work on? Are there things that you think, well, this worked out for me pretty good? I would like to believe that Brian Flores might be a guy the second time around would be a pretty good NFL head coach.
I don't disagree with that at all.
And I think when you become removed out of that New England Patriot, the Patriot way and all that, that you kind of have that arrogance about you. I think Brian Flores got really humbled by that, that you could treat players. And, you know, obviously in Minnesota, he's done a really, really, really good job with this, with that defense.
They're awesome.
I kind of feeling that he will, I think he'll be a better coach. I think he'll, you know, maybe in Minnesota too, he's got some guys in mind that are, you know, that those offensive play callers, those young dudes, you know, across the hall guys that we don't know about. You know, but I think when you look at the situation, you know, coming out of New England, you got that little bit of arrogance about yourself, and I do believe he learned his lesson.
I'm with you 100%. I think Brian Flores would be a good candidate for any team. It's just the idea of him with Caleb Williams is not something that I would imagine would work out. Now, at least for the Bears, you're taking a strength away from a division opponent, and that's the advantage you have if you get Ben Johnson from the Lions or, in this case, Brian Flores from the Vikings. You're getting to help tear down one of your divisional opponents, which is strong.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to get some of the stories between Flores and Caleb Williams and how that relationship would go. But I do think Brian Flores will be a better head coach this time around, for sure. And you know he's going to bring a good defense to the table.
Yeah.
Looks like John Gruden is a name to watch during this
Chicago
upcoming head coaching cycle. He has talked about on his Barstool stuff that Chicago is, he calls it the best job available right now.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently multiple teams have been doing extensive work on Gruden. So I don't know, maybe it's the Jets or something like that. But John Gruden's name, the Jets they're interviewing Rex Ryan, Ron Rivera. Why wouldn't they just throw John Gruden in the mix there? That's pretty hilarious, though, if John Gruden ends up being a serious candidate for anybody. We love him. There's no question about that. And I'll tell you what, I'm frustrated right now because usually by this time on a Tuesday, we've got his NYSE Players of the Week. And for whatever reason, I don't know if the holidays got him, if they got him bogged down a little bit, or if he's already just looking ahead to postseason play. But I am scouring the internet. Yeah, ask him. Say, hey, man, we're dying to get your Week 17 NYSE Players of the Week.
Yeah. He is a sick puppy.
Please please get us
You're
in
right
the mix here.
You're right about that, Lucius.
And by the way, Adam Schefter did say that, you know, with the Eagles not even leaving Saquon in the game the other day in the fourth quarter, Schefter says that he would be floored if Saquon actually plays on Sunday at all. So for whatever that's worth, but we'll be monitoring to see what the plan is there for Barkley as he goes for the record. And there it is, NFL news of the day. We've got some good Cowboy stuff to bring you coming up here in just a little bit. We got Krusty's Corner at 3:40. Broadus is working the phones here trying to figure out this Zeke situation. If you're just joining us over the last few minutes, Josina Anderson reported that Zeke requested his release and the Cowboys have granted it. So as we inch closer to the final game of the season, Zeke no longer a Dallas Cowboy. All right, coming up next, College Football Tuesday. Darty, let's get you set for round two of the College Football Playoff with Carter Freeman next in the nation. We got quite the Quinn Ewers report, and we'll try to connect some dots with that one here. College Football Tuesday, Darty getting you set for round two of the playoffs here with College Football. Carter Freeman live in studio. Zeke has been released by the Cowboys. Josina Anderson reporting in the last 20 minutes or so, Zeke requested his release. Cowboys have granted it, and we're working to get more details on what the heck happened. It's the G-Bag Nation here on a TD Tuesday. What you got, Broadus?
There's a couple of people not in the organization. I'm trying to kind of run down stuff. Kind of got the good riddance tag, you know? Like when you ask, these aren't people within the organization. It were people like that I would know that know the situation, stuff like that.
Mm.
Media types.
Okay.
And they were like, yeah, good riddance.
I was just wondering if he thought Ohio State needed help tomorrow in the Rose Bowl and he had any eligibility left. Yeah. You know, Quinshon Judkins and Trevion Henderson aren't enough for them.
Yeah, so if they're not enough, I don't think
throw his name in the mix.
I don't think Zeke's solving any of their problems if those guys aren't enough. Welcome, College Football, Carter. into the program segment here in the nation, of course, brought to you by Ciroc Vodka and Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. Also brought to you by the Frankels. That's right, Frankel and Frankel. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214-333-3333. All right, we got college football to get to here, and I do want to start with the most interesting man in the college football playoff, and that is Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers. And you have Pete Nakos on Three Sports reporting that, of course, tampering at an all-time high. Ewers has received a $6 million offer to return to college football and enter the transfer portal. Who, what team, $6 million is crazy for 1 year.
For 1 year, yeah. Darian Mensah, the former Tulane quarterback, got $8 million from Duke, but that was over 2 years.
That's 2 years. This is one. And we're talking about Quinn Ewers, and maybe he changes the course of his entire career over these next few weeks throughout the playoff. But we talk about Texas sort of winning in spite of him at times this year, and him being their quarterback is one of the reasons why we're not 100% convinced Texas can really go all the way and be the champs. But there's another multiple programs out there that are willing to give him that much money, and one team in particular going up to $6 million for 1 year, mercenary deal. Quinn Ewers is your quarterback. That doesn't guarantee you anything in the way of national championship.
No, but I think, and as much, you know, negativity as Ewers gets from Longhorn fans and from national media, I still think 90% of other Division I schools would ask for someone like him. He's lost, what, six or seven games across 3 years, and he's won 20 plus. I mean, that's the kind of quarterback you want. He's maybe not, you know, the Cam Ward or the Shedeur Sanders are going to be a number one overall pick, but I think a lot of other programs would kill for that. And if you have $6 million laying around from a booster, we saw Bryce Underwood, the number one quarterback recruit in this most recent class, get $8 million from Michigan, and he's never played a snap.
That's for 1 year?
I don't know if it's 1 year, but 8 million total.
I thought that was for a couple of years. But and still, I saw him with Michigan, and he looks the part of a freaky athlete. That dude is a monster.
Well, they didn't need him today.
No.
19 was clearly enough for them playing a, you know, mediocre Alabama team for what we've seen of over the last couple of years.
Yeah, Michigan beats Bama today. Brought us his LSU Tigers up 21-7 on Baylor right now in the useless Kinders Texas Bowl. Now, you also have former Texas wide receiver Jontae Cook replying, leaving a comment on the story about Quinn Ewers. And he says, wasting y'all money for real.
So sour grapes right there.
A former Texas wide receiver is trying to forewarn whatever program is allegedly willing to give $6 million to Quinn Ewers, Texas quarterback. He says, wasting y'all money for real.
To this day!
It's so funny. I'm into a whole group of new texting going on to people about that, about seeing if anybody knows what school is offering. It's got to be somebody. Do you think Oregon would do this?
Oregon, perhaps. I don't know who their next guy in line is following Dylan Gabriel, but
so they have Dante Moore, who's a former five-star quarterback, was at UCLA last year, transferred to Oregon with the idea that he would take over for Dylan Gabriel after his 1 year. So they have a name there, but if you think Ewers is the guy and he can step in, and Oregon has nothing but money, Phil Knight's shown that he's willing to spend it on all their athletics. Like, if you think he's the guy, yeah, you can go out and get him. But Oregon has a guy. North Carolina was the name we were throwing around last week, right?
North Carolina would make some sense for sure. And year one with Belichick.
They apparently put in a big bid for John Mateer, former Washington State quarterback who committed to OU. They were a late player in that race to get him, and apparently they offered him, you know, $3, $4 million to go there.
Okay.
I would say that North Carolina, I would scrap that one.
Okay, now Broaddus has some connections there, of course, with Michael Lombardi being the GM.
I would scrap that one. Scrap
that
idea. Now, let's see. I mean,
okay, don't start hedging now.
No.
We're scrapping. You told us to scrap it. Consider it scrapped.
Scrap it. I'm gonna trust my guys down there in North Carolina.
Okay.
Put your foot down.
Okay. What about Notre Dame?
Passed the plate a couple of times.
Notre Dame passing the plate.
They just signed, I believe, the grandson or son of Lloyd Carr, the former Michigan coach.
Yeah.
And he's a four- or five-star kid. And I They make sense because they go from Sam Hartman for 1 year, Riley Leonard for 1 year, then you could get Ewers for 1 year.
All I think is you need these quarterbacks for 1 year. It just seems like that's kind of where, you know, I mean, you're keeping around. I'm so glad that Garrett Nussmeier's playing back at LSU, but, man, I'll tell you what, maybe you need these guys first for the 1 year.
What about Alabama? If Jalen Milroe goes to the draft, they're going to need a quarterback. It'd be weird, but...
The Hurricanes in Miami are going to need a quarterback because Cam Ward...
I just had a guy in the college football text me says, because I asked a couple of guys here, and this one guy said he's in a program. He says he isn't very good.
Quinn Ewers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He lied!
He needs another year. But yeah, I mean, how much development can you expect when the hype has always been there for him, but you haven't seen him take a massive step like everyone thought he would. Wasn't he the highest rated quarterback coming out of high school ever when he came out?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Hasn't lived up to that quite yet, but yeah, $6 million for Quinn Ewers. That's the report. We'll see which program is the one that's looking to do that. I do think it would be in the best interest of Quinn Ewers to go grab the dollars and join a ready-made roster for one more year of development before he goes and embarrasses himself on draft night. Don't be going to New York City, Quinn. If you're going to the draft this year, you'll be sitting for a while. The current get-in prices for the quarterfinals, Rose Bowl is the most expensive get-in ticket. $170.
Hmm.
Most expensive Rose Bowl ticket is $1,600.
Mm-hmm.
Now the get-in price for the Fiesta Bowl, $40. Sugar Bowl, $33, and the Peach Bowl, $16. Yeah. So if you want to get in the mix there, watching these games live, you're going to have an opportunity to do that. Okay, so let's take a look at some of these matchups here. You do have Georgia and Notre Dame. Kirby Smart does the thing, and I don't understand why every team wouldn't be doing this, but during bowl practices, the media is allowed to watch for a portion.
No numbers?
No, they have their numbers, but all they do the whole time, according to the media members that show up to these bowl game Georgia practices, for the time that they're allowed to be there, it's just yoga. The players that's all they're doing. You won't see a player on his feet unless he's in some type of stretching position. And then when the last media member walks out of the practice facility, they start practice.
They blow the horn, start practice.
They're making a whole thing about this, and I'm like, well, yeah, obviously, why wouldn't you do this? Aren't all the teams doing that right now? Why would you welcome reporters into any of your practices? We don't need that.
Because it's required.
No, you let them in, but you don't have to.
You don't have to show them anything.
But I'll tell you what they do at the Super Bowl, which I think is really a good idea, is they have a pool reporter. So, like, Peter King will go watch the NFC practice, and another reporter will go watch the AFC practice, and then that way they file a report of what they saw for the day. And so it gets around with from having like a bunch of media members, you have one representative for each team, and they file a report, and you get an idea of what happened at practice that day.
There you go.
Kirby Smart's just keeping the spirit of Saban alive, you know, trying to give the reporters as little as he can because Alabama's not keeping the spirit of Saban alive with how they're playing. So Smart, former Saban disciple, has to do it himself.
Carl, let me ask you a question. You think that you're hearing some like rumblings that a lot of these coaches are stepping up. College coaches are saying that they need a commissioner for college football, much like, you know, like you have a commissioner for the NFL. And everybody's talking about Nick Saban being the commissioner for college football. Good idea?
If you want it to resemble more of what college football's been for the last, you know, its entire existence, basically, then Saban's your guy. I think the college needs something more than the NCAA. For years, the NCAA had rules that people skirted, but they mostly followed. And now as soon as people stopped following the NCAA's rules, they just said, well, we don't care anymore. So they're letting anything happen. Yeah. And I think that's bad. I think there needs to be some division between conference championship games, the playoff, and college football's free agency. I think it's ridiculous that it all happens at the same time. But I just think that this current era of the sport, you need to find your Sabins, you need to find your Stoopses, your Mac Browns, the guys who can really succeed in this era. And then give it a couple years, and then you figure out really what people want, what this sport needs, and then you find your guy based on that. Because you're not going back to the way it was. That's just not going to happen. Yeah. With as much as the NCAA is allowed, and as much as they're continuing to allow, and it's all in lawsuits and courts and stuff. That's why it's, a lot of this is going on, like the JUCO kids getting extra years of eligibility. Mm-hmm. That's because it's wrapped up in courts in like Tennessee, I think. Yeah. So I would love Saban, because I loved college football the way it was mm-hmm. as I grew up, but it's just never going to go back to that.
All right, we got Boise State, Penn State tonight. Ashton Jeanty, I know Cowboys fans are fired up to watch him, and he should have a nice outing versus Penn State, I would imagine. I mean, they have a great rushing tandem as well. There's probably going to be big-time explosive runs tonight in the game. I would probably like to take the over in this particular matchup, but who do you like, and will Boise S the bed?
Boise will not S the bed like SMU S the bed, I don't think. That was Penn State didn't have to do anything to win that game. SMU handed that to them on a silver platter. And if you look at some of the coaching decisions James Franklin made early in that matchup, he went for it on fourth down, like fourth and one on his own 18, and then they didn't get it. So SMU had prime position, and then because SMU played awful, they squandered it. So if James Franklin comes out and does that same stuff and Boise State doesn't crap themselves like SMU did, which I don't think they will, then you're in for a much closer game. Penn State also allows a lot more rushing yards than you would like to think. They don't allow explosive plays like Jeanty's 75-yard touchdown run. Might not see that, but you're going to get a healthy dose of Jeanty. I think his over-under for rushing yards is like 131. I would take the over on that. I think he's hit that in almost every game this year anyway. Yeah. So I'd take that no matter who he's playing. But I think Boise State will keep it close. They're 11-point dogs. I think it'll be maybe 10 or 7, but I do think Penn State will win.
They better find a way to block Abdul Carter, Penn State's edge rusher.
Good luck with that.
Can you just run at that guy, or is he a beast from that standpoint, too? I know he's going to be a top five pick in the upcoming draft.
Yeah, the opponents will throw screens and stuff because of how aggressive to his side. So you see them, you know, because he's so much focused about getting up the field. And then the ball kind of goes behind him. So yeah, I mean, he gets a ton of double team blocks. He takes them on well, and then other times you see him kind of get knocked around. I don't think he lacks strength, but sometimes these teams have caught him at the right moment when they're rushing. I think that when you watch this kid, Carter, number 11, Abdul Carter, he reminds me of Jared Verse that played at Florida State that the Rams have right now.
That dude setting the league on fire.
That's who this player is. So wow. Boise has got to figure out a way to control him, because he'll go hand down, he'll go two-point stance. He gets a lot of ground on his first step. We'll see what kind of plan they have in order to block this guy. It'll be tough.
I really like Maddox Madsen, the Boise quarterback, too, but the secondary for Penn State is going to be better than pretty much anything he's seen this entire year. Yeah. Kevin Jennings found that out the hard way. Like, do not throw anywhere near Dom DeLuca, which is like the most Penn State defensive back name there could possibly be. He had that early pick six against SMU. So It's going to be
Dommy
tough.
Dommy D, baby.
Dommy D, yeah. Dom DeLuca. So they're going to ride on Jeanty like they have the entire season. And I just don't think it's going to be quite enough. It'll be a lot closer than anything we saw in the first round, though.
Okay, give me Carter Freeman's upset special. Who is the underdog? You can't go Oregon, though. Not going to let you do the Oregon thing. That's ridiculous that they're the underdog here versus Ohio State. Who's a real underdog that you're picking to win?
And it's gotten bigger. That's the fun thing, is it's gotten bigger and bigger. It was Ohio State by one when the line opened. It's Ohio State 2.5 to 3 now. So that's silly to me.
That's dumb.
I mean, Notre Dame is the underdog in that game, right?
Yeah, Georgia's favored by 1.5.
That's the one where I would think they have a real shot. If you want a major upset, it would be Boise State over Penn State, because I don't think Arizona State has a chance against Texas. But I also don't think Boise State's going to win. So I would say Notre Dame, because we saw them have a really, really great game against Indiana in the last matchup, and they've been really great ever since that early loss to Northern Illinois. And what really impressed me when they beat Indiana was Riley Leonard had a great day throwing the ball. We all know he can run, and they have Jeremiah Love and several other good running backs that can, you know, tote the rock, but they were really impressive passing to me in that game. But they haven't faced a defensive line like Georgia's going to throw at them, so I don't think they're going to win. But if any of the underdogs, I would pick Notre Dame.
Love it. All right, there it is, your college football round two preview, the first version. We're going to get another college football darty coming up in the expressway when we go commercial free, 520 college football leading into LA Live. And we just got the update from Cowboys PR in regards to Zeke, and I'll give you the info on why it is they moved on from him. Zeke requesting his release today. Cowboys grant it. Why did that happen? Plus, Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Heating and Air. Brought us.
Yep, got some Cowboy questions I'm going to fire off you to you, Eric. Let's see if you can get them right. We'll do that next.
Okay, news broke earlier this hour that the Cowboys have released Ezekiel Elliott, and Jerry has a statement out now. He says, out of respect and appreciation for Zeke and wanting to provide him with an opportunity to pursue any potential playoff participation possible, we are releasing him from the Cowboys roster today. He says, as I have said many times previously, Zeke's impact as one of the greatest to ever play with the star on their helmet will never change and is etched in our record books and history forever. We thank him, love him, and wish him the absolute best. That from Jerry Jones, as Zeke has officially been released from the Dallas Cowboys. And now it's time for a TD Tuesday edition of Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Heating and Air. Brought us.
Thank you very much, Chief. Thank you very much to Reliant. If Mike McCarthy were to leave, I would love to know. There's a lot of things I'd love to know if I could sit down and talk to him. Did he ever want Ezekiel Elliott on this team? That's what I'd love to ask him. That question. Was this something that the front office, Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, Will McClay put on him? You know, was the early, you know, having to play him instead of Rico Dowdle, was that more the front office stuff? But I'd like to know if Mike McCarthy, if he truly, truly wanted Ezekiel Elliott. I'd be interested to see that.
Yeah, I would be surprised if he actually wanted Zeke.
I would be surprised if he did too.
And I'd be surprised if he, I mean, it would be an indictment on the football assessment from McCarthy if he
did
wanted Zeke to be the guy over Rico like it was for the first part of the season. So I think that was just Mike McCarthy dealing with what he has to deal with as a Cowboys head coach, and sometimes they give you something that it's not an ingredient you really want to cook with, but it better be in the damn dish.
Yeah. Oh, I like what you said there. That's pretty good.
Thank you.
Chief.
Yep.
Questions for you.
Are these good questions? You've been doing a lot of walking, and I know you think and you come up with your questions when you're walking. You're walking for 4 miles now. I'm thinking these might be the best questions you've ever had.
Miles. Oh, man. Walking for 4 miles, it makes you think a lot. Yeah. It really does. And
question.
But I'm looking at holiday lights, too, while I'm walking. Walking all through the neighborhood over there and just kind of
soaking it all in.
Man, yeah. It's kind of cool. Holiday lights, when I love people to give effort on the holiday lights.
Yeah, some folks go all out.
Big, yeah.
My old lady be judging you, bro.
If you got the one that just points at your house, those lights, things that just point at
you. Know what, Lucius?
She said, oh, you're a lazy lighter.
You and your old lady and I are friends.
Yeah.
I feel like that if you have a house that's worth, you know, that will be a great backdrop for lights, go for it.
So you'd rather see the house that has no lights at all than a house that has the half-ass little deal that just reflects
exactly.
It over the house.
Yeah. Yeah, she hates that one. Yeah, just get the little lights across, you know, the roof.
Yeah.
Just make a straight line across the roof on those, you're fine.
There's people in this neighborhood that do, they outline the whole house.
I love that.
In lights. I'm talking the point of the roof.
Yeah.
And we're talking
the windows, the doors.
It looks like they look like gingerbread houses.
Yeah.
They got
a nice white one or a nice blue.
They've got a
red. Oh my God.
Some of these homes.
We got Lucius fired up over here.
I love
here.
It, man. I went to Prairie Lights.
Some of these homes have like wreaths that are probably 4 feet tall that are up on their.
Boy, am I impressive.
Yeah. Like reefs with lights and
they got like a full size Jared Sandler just hanging from their door.
I'm just telling you, it's so impressive that they have police cars at the end of the street directing traffic. That's how people coming through the neighborhoods and stuff like that.
Everybody's trying to catch a glimpse of those warlocks.
Yeah, everybody's trying to catch.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. All right.
By the way, my dad for many years was putting the reflector lights up there just to please my mom. It wasn't until he found a guy that could get him the best possible deal in the history of Christmas lights that he finally has real lights on his roof.
Shout out to your pops.
Yeah.
Welcome to the new age, dog.
That's right.
Lucius, how are you about the blow up, the blow up?
Huge.
Yeah, we have those. There's some in the neighborhood. I don't have any myself. But yeah,
I mean, there's some
about the huge ones, like, man.
10, 12 feet tall.
Yeah.
Snowmen.
The best one I saw the other night was the Grinch. like a big...
A blow-up Grinch?
That was like probably about 15 feet tall.
Yeah, I've had to stop my car like 15 times over the last couple of weeks. Anytime we're by a house that has the giant balloon snowman or Grinch or Santa or Rudolph, my kids all want to stop and gaze.
Yeah. All right, Chief. Got some questions for you. See if you can answer them. These are good questions.
Yeah. We'll Chief, be the judge.
Yeah, you be the judge of this. Chief.
Yeah.
Do you worry that even given the opportunity to return that Mike Zimmer won't?
Yes, I do think there is a concern there. And especially if you're bringing back McCarthy, like that's one of the only things that you can really, really say with confidence. Like if you want to bring McCarthy back, it's because you want to keep some of that continuity defensively. You bring in a new coach and he's going to bring in his new guy. And now your defense is having to learn on the fly once again, like they did this year. And hearing Zimmer talk yesterday, I think it's very much a, unless he's just selling this thing, I think it's very much a coin flip whether or not he even wants to coach anymore. And man, if you bring back McCarthy and still have to replace your defense again, that would just be insult to injury.
Okay, follow up to that. You talk about having to replace your defense. Al Harris and continuity, or Bob Sala, or a guy from the Bears that was the head coach?
Eberflus. I mean, certainly.
Saying Al Harris and continuity, or Bob Sala and Eberflus.
I don't know how you could go anything other than Robert Sala there if you have a chance at Robert Sala.
Yeah.
Now, the downside of Sala is you have a guy that might be one and done as your DC, and he goes and gets a head coaching job next time around. I mean, I think he's going to be interviewed for head coaching jobs this time around. We'll see if he gets one. Yeah. But looking at it in a vacuum, there's no question you'd want Sala as your DC over Eberflus and Al Harris, who's never done it before. So that would be, I mean, isn't that obvious to you in terms of you would want Sala too, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah. I think that to me, give me the opportunity with Bob Sala. I'd take that one. I would take Eberflus too. I think Eberflus is damn good at his job.
Yeah, I mean the defenses in Chicago, that wasn't necessarily their weak link.
No.
Of their team.
No.
So as a defensive coordinator, I'd be open to it with Eberflus.
Yeah.
But Sala would be the number one target if you can get him.
Yeah.
But he's probably going to command a lot of dollars if he's your defensive coordinator. I don't know if Jerry's throwing that type of money around for a coordinator.
Yeah. There's some people though that do believe about that, like you said, the continuity of it all. You know, give Al Harris a shot and let him go and see what you got.
And I wouldn't be totally against it necessarily. Yeah. I don't know. You'd be having a guy that's kind of learning on the fly as a defensive coordinator. But I'm sure Al Harris could get it done.
Yeah. What's your feelings on Jake Ferguson going into 2025?
Well, I definitely think that his season would look plenty better if Dak had never gotten hurt.
Sure.
Bobby went through some of the game logs for Ferguson this year, and the targets are almost double when Dak's the quarterback compared to Cooper Rush.
Plays up the seam.
Yeah, Dak loves that.
Yeah.
So
willing to throw it.
Right.
Take a chance. Yeah.
And Ferguson was banged up in the first game of the season with the knee. Yeah. Wasn't out very long. But then you add the concussion to it.
Couple games there.
And that kind of short-circuited things. But it's hard to grade any of these guys because this offense overall was just so bad. But it was certainly a down year for Ferguson. We were hyped thinking he had a chance to put himself in top five, top 10 tight end category, and he absolutely did not do that. So I still look at him as a starting caliber tight end, but he's now kind of in a make or break it season moving forward.
I agree with you. I just don't think that I'm going to go into 2025 thinking that we've got Kelce, Kittle, Pitts, or any of those, you know.
Yeah.
We were all talking about potentially a top five tight end.
For sure.
And it I think we have. I think we needed to tap the brakes on that.
CeeDee Lamb is really the only one outside of Rico late in the year that was able to kind of shine through what was just a disastrous offense.
I think Turpin gave you something.
Yeah,
too.
Turpin in his role for sure, but that's a much more scaled down type of role. But yeah, you're right. Turpin has been a bright spot.
The evaluation of Jonathan Mingo is unfair because he's not playing with Dak Prescott.
Yes. Yes, it is. I mean, we all have our preconceived notions. I don't think anybody within ear's reach of us would have given up a fourth-round pick for him. But we haven't really been able to see what he can do the entire time he's been in the NFL.
Yeah,
Panthers' offense was broken and disgusting. And then he came to this offense, which was the exact same thing.
Sure.
So, and they haven't even really given him that much in the way of opportunity either. It's just been go out there and block for us, bro.
Did that Philadelphia game give you a little hope?
It did.
There might be a guy, a big body guy that could separate.
Yes.
The blocking stuff is, you know, maybe you have a complete player there. The 12-yard pass that he caught, I thought was a good route. You didn't want to give up the fourth round pick. But
there, you might be able to get some use out of this dude.
Yeah. It went from being like a, oh, damn, what did we just do to, oh, maybe?
Yeah, I still don't imagine a world where the fourth round pick ends up being worth the trade.
Jonathan Mingo.
But I do think that it's unfair to just pigeonhole him right now as what we're seeing from him this season is who he is. And you can say that about a lot of guys on this roster offensively.
Okay, how about this one? I'll give you this question then. Can Tyler Smith be your Zach Martin one day?
That's too much. Zach Martin is a 0.1%er, gold jacket, monster, model of consistency, always the best or second best player at his position up until this year, really, and maybe a little bit last year. But to ask that of Tyler Smith, I think highly of Tyler Smith. I think he's a cornerstone piece to your offense and your offensive line, Pro Bowl type player. But is he a Hall of Famer? I don't think we're looking at a Hall of Famer.
Where are you on free safety on your list of needs?
It's up there. I mean, this team has a laundry list of needs. So where exactly is it? I mean, is Wilson back?
Yeah, you signed him a contract. Both him and Hooker
are both under contract.
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah, and they both had down years. Wilson has his moments.
Yeah.
His skill set is very black and white with what he can and cannot do.
Sure.
But Malik Hooker is your starting free safety. That can't happen. I don't think those guys can both be starters for you next year.
Yeah, I'm willing to move on from Hooker myself.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Is this a draft where you can go get somebody?
Absolutely.
They got some dudes?
They got some dudes.
Okay, well, that's encouraging because that's going to be up there.
Yep.
On the needs list for
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. You're right about that. All right. Thank you, man.
Yes, sir. There it is. Krusty's Corner on a TD Tuesday, the final corner of 2024. Great to have you in the G-Bag Nation. Big news of the day, Ezekiel Elliott has been granted his release from the Cowboys. They're saying that it's so that he can go hop on board with a playoff team. Will he clear waivers? Will a team want him? And will they get any use out of him? I don't know. 3.1 per carry this year for Zeke. Sports Hodgepodge coming up next. And Mike McCarthy, that's the headliner. But the real dude on a one-year deal that might be on his way out, this is the guy that we have to be concerned about. Plus, who's on the schedule for next year for the Cowboys? That's next year in the nation.